Welcome to Storytelling. This week's guest is a beacon of inspiration. She embodies the essence of personal and professional growth, bringing a wealth of experience and wisdom to our conversation. As a qualified personal and professional coach, accredited by the Coaching Academy and the International Coaching Federation, her passion for seeing individuals flourish is palpable. With over 19 years of experience in human resources, including leadership roles at prestigious organisations like the Brit School, her insights into leadership, organisational change and personal development are inspiring. Sharing her transformative journey, please welcome Susie Levison. Hello, Susie, and welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Debbie. Nice to be here.
Susie, you have a podcast, How Did I End Up Here?
Yes.
Can you share your story of how you ended up where you are now?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, you are part of that story, part of the reason I started my podcast. So it's serendipitous that I'm here today. It's the first time I've ever been on someone else's podcast. So that's always fun, isn't it? But how did I end up here? To start with, my podcast is all about how life isn't linear. There are lots of twists and turns and decisions we make, but there are lots of threads through our life that, when we look back, hold it all together. And I believe nothing's lost along the way. And so I feel like that's my story, and that's lots of other people's stories as well. And I wanted to share everyone's stories. All of them have been very inspiring and different along the way. But how did I end up here? Gosh, basically, I didn't enjoy school. I'm not very academic. I loved all the arts subjects, but I wasn't actually that good at them necessarily. Had great parents who didn't push me too hard. Probably should have pushed me a bit harder, maybe. Might have done a bit better. Mostly failed my exams. So wasn't very good at any of that. I mean, fail is probably a bit strong. I passed barely. And then my school tried to get me to go to university, and I didn't want to go to university. Or some might say it was because I was already engaged to get married to my husband. But that's not true. The reality is I didn't understand why I would go to university for 3 years to study something that didn't give me a job at the end of it. So I think I got in somewhere, can't even remember what university it was, to do English literature. And given at that time, I wasn't even a big reader. I was like, this doesn't make a lot of sense for me, I don't think. So we abandoned that and went straight into working, and had various jobs at that time, all sorts of random things. And yeah, started my working life from 18, basically, and haven't stopped since then.
So you haven't done that badly, bearing in mind that you just said that you failed at school, or you just barely passed at school, but you had an offer of a place at university. Then you went on to work. So actually, it's a reverse success story, almost.
Reverse success story. Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could call it that. I think there's also something about knowing what you're good at and sticking in your wheelhouse a little bit. Every job I've had, I've worked with people, and I enjoy being with people most of the time. So that helped, knowing that that was something I was good at. So I worked in various jobs, and even when I was in admin jobs, there were reception and that kind of thing. So I could interact with people all the time. And just always really blessed with people around me that encouraged me to do things. And I had a great job and a line manager that taught me so much. So I worked at a place called Cowgate Day Centre, which was a day centre for adults with severe learning disabilities and challenging behaviour. And boy, was it a fun place to work. It was great. The clients that came, the service users, were brilliant most of the time, apart from when it was a little bit challenging here and there, but the staff were fun. But my line manager, Claire, was amazing. And she taught me so much about how to deal with people and being very straightforward, because I think often we're very like me. But she was very straightforward, and she's still a really good friend of mine now. And I'm grateful to her, because I was this young 20 something pretending I could do things. I had no idea what to do. And she just encouraged me and got me doing stuff and trusted me, bless her. And it was fun. I had a lot of laughs as well as working hard.
I think it's really important that we find those people who are happy to mentor us into the world, especially in the world of work. And you mentioned that you're still friends with your mentor now. How important is it to have a mentor in the world of work?
I think it's really important. And I also think, certainly now, I feel like I love encouraging other people in their work. And so now I'm an HR consultant. I work in lots of different organisations and have the privilege of coming alongside people at all levels in the organisation, from CEOs to HR administrators to all sorts of people. And just encouraging people and coming alongside them. And I just think it's important to listen to those that have been there and done it, because they've got a lot to share and a lot for us to learn from. But at the same time, when you're mentoring other people, you learn a lot from them as well, because there's new stuff happening that maybe they've picked up on, but you're old school like me. And yeah, I just think it's so important to encourage each other, particularly in the world of work, because it's hard, you know, it is hard. And we're expected to do so much more for so much less these days, that actually just chivvying each other along is a good idea, I think.
So how and why did you move into the HR area?
Well, I don't think anyone chooses HR, if I'm honest. If you have, let me know, because you must be a rarity. Most of us fall into it. So I didn't have any work, and I signed up to a sort of internal temp agency in a aid and development organization. And they called me up one day and said, oh, we've got some temp work. It's in our HR department. Is that all right? And I was just like, well, yeah, I need work. I don't mind. I'm not bothered what I'm doing, as long as I'm doing something. And so I turned up in this HR department, not having a clue really what HR did, and really enjoyed it, found it was something I was quite good at. So I started at kind of bottom level, a lot of sifting through application forms and CVs and all that kind of thing, and organising all the admin side of HR. And then eventually they offered me a job, or I went for a job and got it. And then amazingly, that organisation paid for me to get my HR qualification, which was brilliant, which I really enjoyed doing. And I think that's one of the things, you know, I didn't want to go to university, wasn't very good at learning, but actually when I had purpose to it, I learned easily and did quite well. So that for me was a interesting learning point in life of like, oh, if I really want to do it, I can do it. That's interesting. So yeah, so ended up there and was there probably, I think, about 7 years, 8 years altogether, and moved up a little bit. Had an amazing boss there as well, another lady called Claire, who is also still a really good friend of mine. I've picked up a lot of Claires in my life. And she was brilliant. She had been to university. Actually, she had studied to be in HR. So maybe she is one of those rarities herself. And yeah, she was brilliant, really helpful. And we had a lot of laughs. We also dealt with a lot of really difficult stuff together. And she was brilliant at helping me through some of that and helping each other through it as well. So that was fun. And then I realised that HR, there's a lot of rubbish that you have to do in HR, really, and a lot of negative stuff relating to people. And if you like people, don't work in HR, because you see the worst of them. It's not very nice. And I got to the point where I was like, I don't want to work in HR anymore. Plus, we had moved to Southeast London, and this job was sort of West London or further than that even. And getting there was too much. And so I was looking for a new job, and I found an office manager role in London Bridge. So I thought, well, that gets me out of HR a little bit. And I did that for a short term, which was always the point, but realized I actually missed HR, weirdly. I don't know why I missed it, but I did. So then I ended up applying to work in HR at the Brit School in Croydon, which was really near where we lived, and ended up there, started off as PA to the deputy principal and HR. And we soon realized that that wasn't going to work because there's lots of HR to be dealing with. It's a big school, lots of people. And I ended up being HR director there for 8 years, which was brilliant. Brilliant. I mean, if you don't know the Brit School, it's a performing arts and creative arts school with lots of very famous alumni. So we got to meet all sorts of interesting people and do all sorts of fun things and go to the Brit Awards. But also the staff there are incredible. So that was a real joy to work with people like that. So that's how I sort of ended up in HR. But I've had lots of moments where I've thought, I don't like HR anymore. And so I think one day my husband had stolen one of my really rubbish magazines. And he came back downstairs from reading it and he said, I've seen this article about these people who are coaches, who are life coaches. I think you'd be really good at that. I was like, oh, what do you think? So I had a little read. I thought, sounds fun, working with people, but in a positive way. That sounds joyous. And so I started exploring coaching.
I think the theme that seems to be running throughout that story is the fact that you value relationships with others. And the fact that you're able to maintain relationships with former colleagues as well, it just demonstrates how valuable those relationships really are.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to others who are unsure how to maintain relationships within a working environment?
Oh, I mean, that's a tricky one. I think for me, it's always about understanding the person in front of you. So I've worked with, along the years, tricky people. Some of them aren't my friends still, but it's understanding where they're coming from. And also being a person that stands for what's right and what's fair, I think sticks out these days, sadly. And people notice that. They notice if you're kind. And if you think about in my job, I've had to sit in very difficult meetings with people where I've disciplined them or spoken about redundancy or whatever it is, really horrible, horrible things that I don't want to be doing to people. But then I have to walk past them in the corridor or see them at lunchtime. And so I'm not going to treat them differently because we've had this difficult conversation. I'm still going to say hello. I'm still going to be friendly. I'm still going to treat them like a human being because that's who they are. The fact that that situation happened, it happened. We move on. We go through processes, procedures, whatever. And so I think that for me is what's important, is being kind. And also the people you work closest with, you're with them probably more than you're with your family. And they're with you in the ups and downs of life. So at the Brit School, I had an amazing assistant called Lisa, who, again, is now an incredible friend of mine. I love her. And she was with me through some really difficult things. So my mum died. My mum was sick. She died. And Lisa was there with me. Lisa also suffered from some family bereavements, and I was there with her through that because we were there together every day trying to work through that stuff. And it's just remembering we're all people, really. And yeah, kindness goes a long way.
If the fact that you're a people person speaks out, and I think that's really important. So how did you end up here? How did you end up doing your podcast?
So I ended up doing my coaching. So basically I did some training and then was trying to do coaching alongside my job. And then I ended up having a coach, this amazing woman called Claire Singers, who's an incredible executive coach. And I think it was like my second session with her. And she said, what do you want to talk about? I said, I want to talk about leaving my job. And this was just at the start of the pandemic as well. And she said, okay, let's talk about that. But we probably can't have more sessions like this on your work time. I was like, yeah, no, fair enough. I understand that. And so I moved. I left my job during the pandemic to start my HR consultancy and life coaching business, which has been incredible. So three years later, I've been doing that. And for a number of years within that time, I had this idea, because my life hasn't been linear and because I don't think that's what equals success. Like, we learn so much and we do all sorts of interesting things. And we're made to feel bad if we don't get good grades, go to university, da, da, da. But actually, how many people have been, so many famous people have been successful without doing all of that kind of stuff. And you've said, I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people. And I love them all. And they're all so interesting. And they've all got completely different stories. And I just thought, well, if I'm interested in their stories, surely other people will be interested in their stories. But for a long time, I was like, well, it'd be great to do a podcast, but there's loads of podcasts. No one's going to listen to it. I don't even know how to do it. I'm a technophobe. This is a waste of time. And then my friend, Debbie Williams, said to me, he had a podcast. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I messaged you, didn't I? And I said, can I talk to you about podcasting? And you said, yeah. And so we sat down in a coffee shop and I had my little notebook. I've still got my notebook with my little notes in it. And you were like, right, you need this, this, and this. This is what you need to think about. This is what you need to do. And you need to get one recorded ASAP. I think you even gave me a deadline. And I was like, okay, I feel like I can do it. So it was a September and I recorded two episodes. The two people I asked were very much up for it, which was great. And then I didn't do anything with them. I left them. I just had two recorded episodes. And I'm sure it's probably you that said to me, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? And so in that January of the following year, I braved it and I put out two podcast episodes. And then for the whole of last year, almost, I had an episode every 2 weeks come out. And it's been brilliant. So many different people. So people who work in the mental health industry. I've got a friend who started life as an actress and now she works in birth trauma therapy. What else have we got? I can't even think. There's so many different stories. And I just love it. I love sitting and listening. And so far, people have been really positive about it. Yeah, it's great.
Well, it's a great podcast. It really is. And I would encourage anyone that's listening to tune into your podcast. What advice would you give to others listening who are going through their own transformative journey?
I think be brave. And being brave looks different for everyone. Not everyone's going to up and leave their job, because we can't all do that. I was in a really fortunate position. I'd saved loads of money because it was the pandemic. And I gave myself a deadline of which, if having my own business didn't work, I would go back and find a job. But being brave will look different. And sometimes it is that thing of, actually, this is something I've always wanted to do. Might be singing. You know, call up that singing teacher, have a lesson. What's the harm? Doesn't hurt anybody, does it? And you might enjoy it. Join a choir. Like, I just think we spend so long, and I've noticed this in my coaching, we spend so long sort of talking ourselves out of things. We lose confidence. I feel like the older we get, we lose a bit of confidence in just going for stuff. Kids just do whatever. They don't care who's watching or what's going on. They just go for it. And as adults, we become so much more self-conscious and we worry about what people might say. But what's the worst that can happen? You fail. Does it matter? No, it doesn't. You've tried. Better to say you've tried and failed than you don't try at all, I say. I mean, I'm saying that. It took me a long time to do the podcast, but I did it. But I just think, yeah, just be brave. Whatever that looks like for you, do it.
Susie, thank you so much for sharing your story. And thank you so much for being a guest on this podcast.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
If you would like further details about Susie, then please follow links in the show notes.